live for God. I know growing up, I heard that all the time from my pastor, from my youth pastor, from any camp that I went to. The big challenge was, hey, live for God. Live for God. Well, what does it mean to live for God? I mean, as a teenager, sometimes you don't really understand. They can say live for God, but if I don't know what it means to live for God, then what good is it? Well, living for God, there's a couple things. It's not just one thing. Living for God, part of it is having a relationship with God. Reading your Bible, praying, getting to know God better. That's living for God. Desiring to serve God. Having a desire, a wanting to serve God. That's living for God. Wanting what God wants. That's living for God. Having Christ being the center of your life, Christ being the center of your decisions. That's living for God. Dying to self. Probably the biggest part of living for God, because then it's not about you anymore, it's about God. That's living for God. Living for God. The title of my message tonight is really a question. It's a question for everybody, but really it's a question for these four graduates. Five graduates. But these four who are just starting out. Next chapter. The question is this. Why should I live for God? Why should I live for God? Why should we live for God? Why? Oh yeah, I know how to live for God. We just said all these things about living for God. But why should we live for God? Why should I give my life to God? Here's the truth. For you four right here. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. I hope I can get an amen from folks who've done it. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. That is just the truth. That's the bottom line. Please bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. I ask you, please, Lord, tonight, use me, God. Give me strength, give me power. Help everyone to listen, Lord, but help especially, Lord, our graduates, God, to listen to this message, Lord. Please use me, God. I'm an empty vessel. I know that I'm nothing. I know I have nothing to offer, but God, I know that you can use me tonight, and I beg you, please, God, please, 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 use me. Help me to deliver this truth, God, that living for you is the best thing that they can do for their future. It's the best thing that I can do for my future. God, please use this message. In your precious and holy name, amen. Why should I live for God? Why should I live for God? Well, this isn't one of the points. There's three points I have tonight, but this isn't one of them, but this is just obvious. Why should we live for God? Because the Bible says to. The Bible says to. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, that's talking about living for God, seeking Him first. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Hey, that's living for God, making sure God's number one. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. Hey, that's living for God. That's living for God. Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's living for God. Colossians 1:18, the end of that verse says, "That in all things he might have the preeminence." Making God number one. Why should we live for God? Because, obviously, because the Bible says to. But you know, that doesn't always work for people. Hey, I can read you these verses and tell you these verses, but that might not mean you'll change your mind. It's good enough reason to change your mind. But there's other reasons, too, why we should live for God. There's other reasons that even in my short life, even my short time in the ministry, God has shown me reasons why it is the best thing to live for Him. He's shown me. So why else should we live for God? Why else? Graduate, why should you live for God? For this next chapter in your life, some of you staying here, some of you going to college, some of you don't know what's going to happen. I want to show you some reasons why the best thing you can do. You may not know where you're supposed to go. You may not know who you're supposed to be with or what college you should go to. You may not know any of those things. But there is one thing that you can know, and that's living for God is the best thing right now. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. Why? Number one, because when you live for God, it'll help you face your fears. It'll help you face your fears. Psalms chapter 56 and verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Living for God will help you face your fears, whatever fear that may be. I know that when I graduated, I had a lot of fears. My story is a little bit different than some. I went to a Christian high school, and in my junior year, in February of my junior year at this Christian school, the end of February, they made an announcement that the high school would be shutting down for the next year. So that leaves me kind of in the dark. What am I supposed to do now? So I began to seek counsel. We began to talk to my parents and figure out, what am I going to do now? I have a year left of school, and what am I supposed to do? My school that I know, the people I know, what am I supposed to do? That's pretty scary. Well, I had a couple options. I could either go to a public school for a year, for my last year, and finish there. I could finish the year homeschooling. I could do a year of homeschooling by myself. Or I could finish the rest of my credits during the summer and then go to college in the fall. Well, that one is kind of exciting. I had just got back from a trip to Golden State Baptist College a week before they made the announcement. Pretty cool. First time I'd ever been out to California. I went to Golden State Baptist College, and I remember talking to one of the students there, and I was having a good time with the students, just fellowshipping and looking around the college, and the student said this. He said, "Man, I wish you could just come next year to college here with us." And I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?" Well, the next week when I got home, they made that announcement. Everything's shutting down. So I began to pray about it. I began to talk to my father about it. And here's just a little side note. Man, you need some good counsel. Why don't you go to your parents? Why don't you talk to your parents? Hey, I would love for you to talk to me and get advice from me, but why don't you go to your parents? They love you. They know you better than anybody else. Go to them for advice. I remember I went to my dad and said, "Dad, what should I do? What should I do? I don't know what, I'm nervous. I'm scared. I got a year left. What should I do? Should I go to school? Should I do this?" And Dad said this. He said, "Donald, why don't you ask yourself this question? What option is going to bring you closest to God?" It's pretty good reasoning. And I said, "Man, I guess going to college, Bible college. I mean, I'm surrounded by the ministry and by preachers and by Bible class. That'd probably be the best way." He said, "You know what? Then do it. Then do it." So what I did was, that summer, I began to work I needed some physical education credits. I needed some U.S. history credits. So what I did was I started figuring things out. There was a thing at a community college right around the corner from my house called the CLEP test. Now, I'm not a kleptomaniac where you steal things, but it's the CLEP test to where you would study for this test about a certain subject. You go in and it's like 100 or so questions, and if you pass the test, you got two college credits and three high school credits. Man, that sounds like a good deal. You only pay like $100. I'm like, "Hey, I'll buy some credits. Sounds good to me." So what I did was, I went over to Barnes & Noble's and I got the CLEP test, U.S. History Study Guide, all the answers, all the questions. I'm like, "This is easy. Pastor, I don't know if you remember this, but we went down to our camp for the summer and I brought that book with me. It was about a 20-hour trip to camp. I studied the whole trip. I read through that book. They had questions at the back, study questions. I memorized every one of those questions. Man, I was ready for the CLEP test. Yeah, here I go. I'm going to graduate." So I go over to Holyoke Community College, and I went in that room, and I sat down at that computer, and I'm like, "Here I go. I studied my book. I'm ready. I know the answers. Yeah." Press start on the test, and I'm looking at the screen, and I'm like, "Did I buy the wrong book?" I'm dead serious. Out of the 100 or more questions, I'm being totally honest, there were about 4 that I knew. Like, for sure. And this is multiple choice. So you'd think I'd at least recognize some answers. Nothing. I'm like, "What kind of U.S. history is this? What about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln? That's what I don't know any of this. This is just weird U.S. history. That really probably doesn't even matter. Hey, I know about the founding fathers." So I took this test. I paid the money. And I'm like, "That was horrible. I knew it was." And I remember like, "Hey, God, maybe you just gave me wisdom and I passed it." Well, he didn't give me wisdom for that. And I remember, I got about 4 out of 100 correct on that test. Wow, loser. I felt like a loser. I felt like a failure. And you know what? I'll tell you, that's a funny story, but I was scared. Okay, here I am at end of July. I'm supposed to be going to college in the end of August, and I don't got no U.S. history credit. I was scared. I had fear. I'm like, "What am I going to do now? I'm not going to take the test again. What should I do? What am I going to do?" And praise the Lord, long story short, he worked some things out, and those 40 or so hours I put in a study on the bus counted as hours of class time, so I got the credits and stuff like that. But, you know, what happened after that is, you know, I finished my credits in the middle of August. 2 weeks later, I graduated at my church, and I went to California the next day. 2 weeks after I graduated, I went out to California. Away from my family, away from my friends, away from my home church, to where I didn't know anybody. That was a scary time. I'll never forget that plane ride. Man, excited about going to California, but I got to California late at night, They let me stay in the dorms. It was the night before moving in day. I remember bringing my luggage upstairs to the dorms, going in my dorm room, and this tiny little room, probably about, you know, so probably out right to here. It's a tiny room, four bunk beds, one long desk with a chair under. I'm like, what am I doing? What did I get myself into? And I'll be honest. Man, I was the only one in there at the time. There was no one there yet. I was alone. And I wasn't alone, but I felt alone. I did. I felt alone. I'll be very transparent with you. I laid in my bed. I got my bed set up and my suitcases put away, and I laid there and I began to cry. I didn't know what was going to happen. I began to doubt, Lord, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? I had fears. And praise God. Thank God. I know that I fail so often. And at college, I failed so often. Living for God. Not being the best Christian I could be. But I tried. I really did. I tried to live for God in those years of college. And in those 2.5 years I spent there, God began to show me reason after reason after reason after reason why He had me there. And because I did my best, although I failed so often, because I did my best to live for Him, He helped me to face my fears. He helped me to face my fears. And God gave me strength in that time of fear. And in your life, He can do the same. If you live for Him, if you do your best to get to know Him, have a relationship with God, then He'll help you face your fears. He'll help you face your fears. Maybe your fear is you don't know who the Lord has for you in your life. That's a big deal. Who the Lord has for you to spend the rest of your life with. That's a fear. Lord, who's going to be? Is she going to be pretty? Is he going to be ugly? Now, I don't think you think about that, but hey, you might. If that's a fear, God can help you with that. If you live for God, He'll help you face those fears. He'll take those fears away. Maybe it's not about that. Maybe it's about where you're going to go. Some of you say, I don't know where I'm going to go after this. Man, that can be pretty fearful. No one wants to. You gotta go out and be on your own sometimes. And if you don't know where God has you, that can be fearful. But God can help you. Maybe you don't know when you should. Where or when or how it's going to happen. God will help you. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. That's the truth. Man, when the Israelites stood in front of the Red Sea, God didn't just take the Red Sea away. No, God split it and He led them through the Red Sea. And God's not going to just take away your trials or take away your fears. No, He will help you. He will lead you through them. He will lead you through them to the other side, where you can look back at that trial, that fear, and say, hey, God taught me something. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. Getting in His Word, praying. Man, striving to serve Him. Desiring to serve God in some way. I'm not saying you gotta go out and be a preacher or missionary. I'm talking about just living for God, serving Him. Just living for Him. Telling others about Him, that's a way to live for God. Making Him the center of your life, of your decisions. These big decisions you're making, making Him the center. Man, best thing you can do for your future. It'll help you to face your fears. Not only living for God helps you face your fears, but secondly, living for God helps you deal with difficulty. Helps you deal with difficulty. The Bible says the Lord is nigh to them that have a broken heart. Man, I don't know if you have a broken heart this evening or you're going through something, but I'll tell you one thing, you're probably going to have a time in your life when you will. You will have a broken heart. You will have a trial. And if you live for God, if you live for Him, He'll help you deal with that. The Bible says casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Man, all of you, you've grown up in church. You've probably heard that verse 1,000 times. But when are you going to really understand that God cares for you? God cares for you in a personal way. And He'll help you deal with your difficulties. My wife's favorite verse is Psalm 138:8, which says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. What's important to you? If you live for God, He'll perfect it. He'll help you with it. He'll make it happen. Hey, you can read Romans 8:28 and believe it. If you're living for God, all things work together for good to them that love God. I was at college, and this is my about my second year. And like any college student at that time. I was a dummy. I was financially stupid. And I spent my money on food. And if you've ever been to California, you've had In-N-Out Burger, which is just delicious. And you know what I did with my money? I had a great job. Man, making $12 an hour. And 40 hours a week. It's great. And I made a good paycheck. But I wasn't smart with my money like I should. And I got into a part where I had financial difficulties. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I'll be dead honest with you. I did not know what was going to happen. What they do over there is they put you on a list, the FW list, financially withdrawn. And when you go into class, and they have this financially withdrawn, they'll read the names off. And if your name's on that list, you got to get your stuff and leave class. Very embarrassing. That happened to me a couple times. We'll be in New Testament survey, and they'd be reading the names. Donald Savini. And here I am like, I got to take my stuff and walk out because I hadn't paid my bill yet. I didn't have the money. And it was a difficulty, and I battled that. And there were times at college, at Bible college, where I'm here preaching every single day, and I'm surrounded by people who serve in God. Man, even in all that atmosphere, I still battled. And I still had difficulties. And I still had spiritual difficulties in my heart. I'm like, God, what's going on? I started to get bitter sometimes. And I'll never forget that time when I was financially withdrawn, and I was like, what am I going to do? What if I have to go home? And I remember talking to people, and I began to seek counsel from different people in my life and say, what's going to happen? What should I do? And one pastor said, Donald, God didn't send you there to send you home. He said, you pray about it. You seek God. You find out what He wants. Why don't you go to Him for help? That's what I did. I tried. I'll never forget sitting in the hallways of the dormitories, middle of the night, praying, asking God for help. And apologize, saying, God, I'm sorry I don't live for you like I should. God, I'm sorry I haven't been the best Christian, but Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. God, what am I going to do? Help me, please. I had difficulty. I'll never forget. The Sunday before the Monday that I was going to be asked to leave, because that's what they had to do. After a while, if you couldn't pay your bill, they'd say, I'm sorry, you have to leave. You have to go home. And then you're really on your own. And the Sunday before that Monday, I was laying, taking a nap in between services. I wasn't sleeping because I couldn't sleep because I was so nervous. I knew that the next day I was supposed to be going home. And I got a text message from somebody. And they said, I want to write you a check for $1,500. The exact amount that I needed. And you know what? That may not mean much to you. But to someone who's going through that kind of a difficulty, to see God answer a prayer like that, it humbles you. It brings you to your knees to where you just can't even believe that God would care that much to answer that prayer. And I never would have seen that happen if I hadn't been at least trying to live for God. And like I said, and I'll say it again, I failed so often. Oh, I was far from a perfect Christian. I was far from a perfect student. I was far from what God really wanted me to be. But I was at least trying. I was trying to live for God. I was trying to do my devotions. Yeah, I'd get tired. Yeah, I'd get homework would build up and papers would come. And I wouldn't walk with God like I should. And I wasn't the best Christian that I could be. I didn't always have a happy face when I was serving. But I was trying. God helped me deal with those difficulties. He helped me deal with them. Not only that, not only financial difficulties, but I remember, and I'm telling you these stories, guys, not because they're the best stories, but because this time frame that I'm going back to is the time frame that you're moving into. That's the only reason. Folks, you may not, that may have been a long time ago for you, but this is the next step for these guys. That's why I'm sharing these stories from college, because you're going to go into that. You're going to maybe face these things. And I remember, they asked me to be a bus captain at college. They had like 10, they had like 30 bus routes and they wanted me to be a captain. And being a bus captain at college, we had about 500 students. It was a big deal. It was a leadership position that people looked up to you and people were always watching you. And I was nervous and I said yes, only because I had heard a preacher say once, if you get an opportunity to serve God in a greater capacity, You really don't have to pray about it. Just do it. It's not like I would be leaving somewhere. No, I'd be just staying where I'm at, serving God in a higher, on a bigger level. So I didn't have to pray for it. So I said, I almost said like this, okay, I'll do it. Because I really didn't want to, because I knew who I was and how I was, but I said yes anyway. And I became a bus captain of bus 22, San Jose, California route. Man, and if you've been to Bible college before with bus captains and such, after there's a captain for 4 years, those kids on that bus love their captain. So when he goes off to graduate, the next guy coming in, they really don't really want anything to do with him. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. When I took over that bus route, I was scared. What if the kids don't like me? What if the workers don't listen to me? What if our bus route dies and the numbers go down? What's going to happen? What am I going to do? And I had that difficulty. I had that. I remember, and I'll tell you this and how embarrassing it is, but I'll never forget a Sunday afternoon. I mean, I had just been the bus captain for a couple of weeks, couple of months, and there were some kids that just were, you know, rude to me, and I just, for some reason, I let it get to me, and I just didn't like it, and I was nervous, and I didn't even like riding the bus because I got so nervous. What if the kids don't like me? And I'll never forget a Sunday afternoon, they were getting ready to dismiss the kids to go home, and I went and I hid in the closet. I went and hid in the closet. Because I didn't want to ride the bus. I didn't want to be anywhere near it. Because it was a difficulty. But I'll tell you, God used that bus route to build me as a Christian. He helped me. And yeah, that was a difficulty I faced, but God helped me deal with it. Not because it just happened, but because I was trying to live for God. I was trying to. Living for God helps you deal with difficulty. And graduate tonight, I'll say it again and I mean it. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. It's the best thing you can do for your future. Living for God. Living for God helps you face your fears. Living for God helps you deal with difficulties. And living for God, lastly, doesn't really help with this one, but living for God will make you love your life. It'll make you love your life. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And Pastor mentioned it tonight from the pulpit. I think God did it on purpose. He mentioned, hey, living for God, there's losses. Hey, there's times when you live for God, truly living for God, things do get difficult, and fears do come into your life, and things don't always seem like they're going the best when you really are living for God. And even though in my short time of life, I've been married for 2 years, I've been a father for 1 year, I haven't faced many problems, there have been things in my life that have been difficult. But because my wife and I are trying to live for God and do what He wants, I love my life. I love my life. I love everything about my life. I love the fact that even the fact that I'm a skinny white guy. I love that. Hey, that's okay with me. You know, I love my family. I love my wife. I mean, the fact that God created somebody just for me. Oh, and I have the opportunity to spend the rest of my life with her. I love that. I love my little boy. Even though he's always sick. I love him. I love seeing him smile. I love seeing him laugh. I love the fact that there's another one in the oven. That's going to be great. I'm excited. Hey, I love this church. I love my job. I love the youth group. I love youth graduates. Hey, I love the youth room downstairs that I get to be in and all the broken air hockey tables. And I love it all. I do. Hey, I love my messed up Jeep. And praise God for Brother Mark Meyer. Woo! Thank you for fixing my Jeep. And I love it. I love it. I love my life. Yes, I complain. We all do. I complain. Man, I start to get, you know, snippy sometimes. But if I stop for a second, and when my life, when I'm trying to live for God, and the Lord's doing the work in my life, and I'm close to God like I should be, or not like trying to get closer to God, when I'm on that part of my life, man, I step back and I realize, man, I have a great life. I love my life. I love my life. I love everything about it. And when you live for God, you love your life.
Some of you, maybe you four, maybe you look at your life and you really can't say that you love your life. Well, it's probably not everything else. I want you to look deep inside your heart. Ask yourself, am I living for God like I should? Because if you're living for God like you should, yes, you'll have losses. Yes, you'll have trials. Yes, you'll have problems and difficulties. But when you step back, you can say, I love my life. I love the fact that God has saved me. He's given me a calling on my life. And when you live for God, you'll know His plan. You'll know His purpose for your life. And what's not to love about what God has? What's not to love about the plan that God has for your life? Because God does have a specific plan. Man, it's hard for me as a youth pastor to hear, say, man, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. Because I know that God has something. And maybe God's having them wait, and that's fine. But God has a specific plan. Maybe it's what you want to do. Praise God. Maybe you don't know what it is. But God has a specific plan for you. And God has our best interests in mind. And you'll love your life, especially if it's the life that God has for you. You'll love it. I love my life. When you live for God, you will love your life. Oh, my greatest wish as a youth pastor is that you guys can serve God and love your life. You live for God and love your life. I mean, I'd hate 10 years down the road to find out that one of you is miserable. That would kill me. I know, you can talk to Pastor Rich and ask him if there's any teens in his youth group that maybe aren't doing all that they should be doing. And I bet she's not like, yeah, they're doing great. No, it breaks his heart. Because unfortunately, not everybody makes it. But I want all of you to make it. I want you to live for God. I want you to have a relationship with God. I want you to do what He wants you to do. I want you to go where He wants you to go. I want you to be with the one that He has for you. That's my greatest wish, is that you'll do what God wants you to do. Oh, my wife and I, we love you guys. We love you. We care about you. Say, how can you say that? You only know him for 6 months. Oh, the Lord has given us something, a special place in our hearts for you guys. Whether or not you want to believe it, it's the truth. We care about you. We want to see God do something with your lives, whatever it may be. Living for God, you'll love your life. Living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. Oh, I hope that you desire a happy future. I believe you do. If you desire a happy future, then live for God. Live for God. Live for God. Have a relationship with Him. All those different things. Desire to serve Him. Have Him be the center of your decisions. Man, when you're going to be making some huge decisions, go to Him. Ask Him for guidance. Ask Him for help. Hey, seek counsel from your parents. Come to me. Come to Pastor. Go to somebody. Make Him the center of your decisions, of your life. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Die to self. Say, God, it's not about me. It's not about me, God. It's about you. Maybe the reason, man, so often I get frustrated at little things. You know the reason why? It's because I haven't died to self. I haven't died to self. When I die to self and forget about me and care only about God, man, things don't bother me as much. That's when I can start to love my life. But if you won't die to self, you'll never love your life. Because everything will seem to be going wrong. Die to self. Live for God. The decision that needs to be made tonight, I hope from you four graduates, and not only these four, but the whole auditorium, this whole congregation, the decision that needs to be made tonight, here on this altar, because there's something special about an altar, about getting and doing business with God and showing God that you mean business and showing everybody, hey, I'm serious about this. The decision that needs to be made tonight is simply this. God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do my best to live for you every day in every way. And you know what? Tomorrow morning, you're going to have to wake up and say, God, I'm going to live for you today. Because, yeah, you can kneel here tonight and say, I'll live for you every day of my life. And then tomorrow, I'll get right back in the swing of things. It's a daily decision. Tomorrow, God, I'm going to do my best to live for you today. Tuesday, God, I'm going to do my best to live for you today. Wednesday, Thursday, for the rest of your life, saying, God, I'm going to try to live for you, because living for God is the best thing you can do for your future. Believe that. Because it's the truth. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.